Sutrain Vesile, si Bhakti Vedanta Vedanti Goshami Maharaj, Gopai Ki Jai. Patita Pavana Sevila Palanso Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramaham Zipadivajakacharnja Asta Tarzatashi Shimad is Divine Grace Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai. Nama Charger Shila Haridas Thakur Kijai Bramsukoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktar Vinda Kijai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadip Dham Kijai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Iskan Denver Ki Jai, Iskan Save the World Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jai, Gaura Panemananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pushchacha Desha Tarine. So, we're continuing on the special lecture series on the four key verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Last night we studied the first of them. Tonight we will study the second of them. Logical order, 1, 2, 3, 4. Even a child can count 1, 2, 3, 4. So tonight we will do the second verse. In this wonderful essence of the Gita contained in four shlokas. Very nice. If one can simply understand these four verses very nicely, then you can become a very great preacher. Ten, nine. Page 458. Machyata. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Machyata. Mat gata prana bodhyanta parasparam katayanta cha mam nityam tashyanti cha ramanti cha machchita mat gata prana Bhodiyanta parasparam katayantashchamam nityam tashyanti charamanti cha machchita. Their minds fully engaged in me. Matgata prana. Their lives devoted to me. Bodhyanta, preaching, parasparam, among themselves, katayanta, talking, cha, also, mam, about me, nityam, perpetually, tashyanti, become pleased.
Cha,
also.
Ramanti,
enjoy transcendental bliss. Cha,
also.
The thoughts of my pure devotees, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited with the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the growing of a seed in the heart of a living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular water. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahmajyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plan of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God, then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12:13-18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalabhyad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Om Jnana Timananda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a very special verse, very, very special verse. This verse is giving us the key of how to absorb ourselves 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. We are here in the association of devotees, isn't it? So, we have to follow this injunction, how to associate with devotees. Every minute of our 24 hours is described here. There are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Devotees, when they're together, they don't want to talk about anything except Krishna. They have no time for idle gossip. They just want to simply glorify Krishna. Why? Is it some artificial thing? No. Because that's where the nectar is. If you could taste nectar, why would you want to taste poison? You see? It's just common sense. If I gave you a cup of nectar and a cup of poison, which one would you drink? So if we talk about Krishna, then it's just pure nectar. And if we talk about mundane things, it's poison. But the difficulty is we think we take the nectar to be poison sometimes, and the poison to be nectar. That's the problem. That's why we have to read the Bhaktivedanta purports. We have to read Prabhupada's books to remind us, wait a minute. This is the nectar. This is the nectar, not that. You see. We have to remind ourselves by reading Prabhupada's books. By hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, we have to understand what is the actual nectar. So in the society of devotees, there will be some devotees who are very keen to actually do this all the time. There will be some that are lax, who are not so advanced. So we have to seek out the association of those devotees who just want to talk about Krishna. You see, we should really, in the society of devotees, we should look for that kind of association. Who are the devotees here who just want to talk about Krishna all day? Of course, not that we don't do our service. I doubt, well, we're talking about Krishna, Prabhu, we don't need to do any service. No, we do our service also. But our talk is about how our service can be done nicely, of course, that is Krishna consciousness. And we want to talk about Krishna. How sweet His holy name is, how wonderful are His pastimes. His pastimes in Vrindavan, His amazing pastimes in Mathura. It amazes me, every time I think about how Krishna entered Mathura, He just comes strutting in here, this cowherd boy just comes strutting in as if He owns everything. Of course He does own everything. He's God. Comes up, He thinks that He owns everything. And so Krishna comes upon Krishna's, Kamsa's washerman. And he says, give me those clothes. And he says, no, they're the king. Whap, whap, He just kills them immediately. Krishna just kills him, murders him on the spot. What a great blessing to be killed by Krishna, you see. But just see how He walks in, you know. He just struts in, I own the place, you know. You do what I want or I'm going to kill you. You see? So these pastimes of Krishna are very amazing. They're all glorious, all wonderful. His Govardhan pastimes, His Dwarka pastimes. Every single pastime of Krishna is the most sweet, wonderful thing that you could imagine. So 24 hours a day is really not enough time. And it's just a shame we have to sleep. I mean, it really is. It's just a shame. Prabhupada actually told us, he said, everything can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness except for sleep. Of course, even that, you could say, is dovetailed because you sleep so you can do your service. But he said, everything else, you can do it for Krishna directly. Sleep is indirectly for Krishna, not directly. But everything else that you can do for Krishna, you can sing for Krishna, you can write for Krishna, you can dance for Krishna, you can make money for Krishna, you can even have sex for Krishna by producing Krishna conscious children, you can eat for Krishna by taking prasadam. Everything we can do for Krishna, but only sleep, Prabhupada says, sleep is waste. But of course, even that can be dovetailed by sleeping only what is necessary, and then using that energy that we gain from our sleep to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada explains actually in that one lecture, he said he describes everything as being kirtan actually. Kirtaniya sadahari is the injunction of Krishna, 24 hours a day engaged in kirtan. So we know we only have kirtan in the morning and the evening, and maybe harinam, but Baba is defining kirtan as any activity of glorifying Krishna. He said even eating is kirtan, but sleeping is not. So we just have to find that ways and means how to become always absorbed in this wonderful activity of Krishna consciousness. Now one may say, well, why? Why do we have to do this? Because this is the Hare Krishna movement? Is that why we do this? If that were a fact, this would just be a brainwashed cult. Well, you have to chant Hare Krishna because you're in the Hare Krishna movement. No, the Hare Krishna movement exists for a scientific reason. And we do these things not because we're members of the Hare Krishna movement. We do this because there's a scientific purpose behind chanting Hare Krishna. We are emanated from Krishna. We will be coming to that in tomorrow night's, I suppose tomorrow night's class, depending on what assignment I'm given. But the next Bhagavad Gita class I'll be giving will be on, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartite. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. So everything emanates from me. So are we part of everything? You and I? Huh? We did it last night. Oh. Well, next year when I come back again. I had my Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. That's right. Last night's verse. All right. So, as we were discussing last night, Krishna is the source of everything. That's why we exist. When I was giving a lecture at a high school class in Helsinki, Finland earlier, it was last year, last spring. Of course, it wasn't much like spring. It was still snow on the ground everywhere. But we asked the students, why do you exist? And one boy says, because my mother and father wanted to have a baby. That's why I exist. So this is the material conception. He had no conception that he exists before he karmically was destined to, you know, take birth of a particular mother and father. He had no idea of his spiritual identity. So the fact is we have an eternal spiritual identity, and then understanding that fact, then if we ask again, why do you exist? What will you say? If I ask you, why do you exist? What will you say? It's a spiritual being. Why do you exist as a spiritual being? Do you have any idea why you exist? Do you know why you exist? Huh? Yes, that's right. But why is Krishna emanating you? From his perspective, he's the one who emanated you. You see, he's the one who's emanating you eternally from himself. So why is he doing that? You spoke from your perspective on what your duty is, but why is he emanating you eternally from himself? You see, that's the question, real question I'm asking. Why is Krishna eternally emanating you from himself? That's Krishna's bhakti?
No,
it's not. Huh?
Loving exchange.
Loving exchange, that's right. Very good understanding. Krishna is called Atmaram. He is self-enjoyer. He doesn't need to emanate any living entities from himself to enjoy. But since he is Atmaram, and he can do anything for his own enjoyment. If he wants to remain alone and enjoying that way, he can do that. He doesn't have to emanate any living entities from himself. But, as you can judge the entire ocean from a drop, and we can see in our own nature is we like to have association. So why do we have that nature? Because that nature originally is there in Krishna. Krishna wants to have association to increase his enjoyment. Even though he has unlimited enjoyment just by himself, He wants to increase that unlimited enjoyment exponentially. Therefore, from himself, he expands an unlimited number of living entities. Not at some point in time. He's been doing this eternally. And there was never a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So we say that God created us. It doesn't mean at a particular moment in time. It really means he is eternally creating us by emanating us from himself for all of eternity. So it's not that there was some moment we didn't exist and he created us. He's eternally emanating us from himself, or manifesting us by his divine potency. He's manifesting us for the purpose of having a loving relationship with us. That's why we exist. So just try to understand, if you don't love Krishna, where are you at anyway? You're putting yourself into a complete state of insanity. You don't love Krishna. Actually, anyone who does not love Krishna is a madman. It's plain and simple. They're simply totally insane person. Anyone who does not love Krishna is totally insane, because Krishna is emanating us eternally from himself simply for the purpose of loving him, the person Krishna. That's why we exist. So, to actually realize our true potential as living entities, we must come to this platform of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we remain lost, we remain completely lost. It doesn't matter what you may do. If you don't develop your love of Krishna, you're nowhere. When we were in Atlanta in 1975, one devotee came. He was the leader of some kirtan party, distributing many books. So, there was the Sunday feast lecture. The temple room was packed with like 300 devotees, just packed. He raised his hand and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most?" He had a big smile on his face. He was getting ready to hear a book distribution, and he was the leader of a book distribution party. And he was here with all these devotees, some who were distributing books, some who were not, as a full-time service. You can see on his face, he was just waiting to hear book distribution. You could just see it in his face. And Prabhupada said, "If you love Krishna..." And the whole temple room went ecstatic. Everybody was totally enlivened by Prabhupada's answer. Because actually, that's the whole purpose of everything that we're doing. If we forget that the whole purpose is simply to develop our love for Krishna, then we're just playing around in the modes of nature. That's all we're doing. Simply playing around in the modes. Trying to be a big, big person. That disease has been the fall down of many a devotee. They were trying to be big in the material world. They couldn't make it. So they tried to be big in a spiritual movement. And they couldn't make it. So they left. Even if they got big, they got up there and they realized it wasn't so exciting to be big. So they left. The real thing is we want to become small. And that's the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. How to become lower than the parquet tiles in the temple room. Is it? How can I get lower? How can I lift one up, crawl underneath it, and have someone step on it and press it back down into the floor? You see. How can I get that low? Prabhupada was able to inspire that feeling in us very much when he was physically here. Wonderful devotee who made me a devotee, actually, Vishnu Jana Maharaj. He and three other sannyasis had gotten carried away with some crazy idea, and they were preaching Mayavadi philosophy for a while. And when Prabhupada heard about it, he banned them from the ISKCON temples and told them they had to go out and open 10 temples, but they couldn't go to any ISKCON temples. It was a real punishment for them. They had to just take off. They had no money, they had nothing, no cars, no vehicle, nothing. And they were banned. and they just had to hitchhike and somehow open 10 temples each. They had to each minute, and so that was the instruction they got. So Vishnu Jan Maharaj came to Houston and opened a temple there, and he came to Austin and picked me up and attracted me to Prabhupada. And then he took, I guess he took chance to go back and see Prabhupada at the Ratha Yatra Festival in San Francisco. And he was attending the leaders meeting. I wasn't there, but I heard the recording of it. And Prabhupada said, "So, Vishnu Jana Maharaj, how many temples?" And the way he answered it, I mean, you could hear the tone of his voice. You could just immediately understand his mood. It was like he was crawling down. He was like he was underneath the carpet and just kind of sticking his head up from under the carpet and looking up at Prabhupada and saying, "Two." So this is actually the mood, you see. And that Prabhupada was very much able to inspire us in that mood of just being very, very humble and feeling ourselves very lowly and insignificant and just being willing to take whatever mercy he would give us, whether it was glorification or chastisement, it didn't matter. Just somehow that Prabhupada would notice us and, you know, give us something. Something that was very sweet and wonderful. So this is now the leaders in our movement have to inspire the younger members and guide them in this way to develop this mood of humility. There are different etiquettes that we observe in the society of devotees, and these etiquettes are sometimes neglected. There's those who are older than us spiritually, who are our seniors, those who are equal and those who are junior. Those of us who are seniors, we welcome their association, we offer our obeisances to them, we take instructions from them. This is how we associate with those who are our superiors. Those who are equals, we become kata buddies, like described in this voice. We sit around and talk about Krishna, share realizations. Kata buddies, Krishna kata buddies, you see. And then those who are our juniors, we're preaching to them to help them become Krishna conscious. We're very kind to them. We're very tolerant of their mistakes. And we're very loving and kind and merciful to them to encourage them to come up in Krishna consciousness. This is how we deal with three different levels of personalities who are in Krishna consciousness. And this way we can actually become, we can create a wonderful atmosphere, a wonderful Vaikuntha atmosphere in our movement, which will attract the whole world. Prabhupada confirmed, one astrologer saw a picture of Prabhupada and he said, "This man has built a house in which the whole world can live peacefully." And Prabhupada confirmed when he heard it, he says, "Yes, that is my mission, to build a house in which the whole world can live peacefully." So, this atmosphere we must create in our society by creating the most wonderful, sublime relationships. ISKCON is actually just, when you really boil it, it really boils down to the bottom line. It's not the buildings, it's the people. That's what ISKCON actually is. It's the people. It's the relationships, it's that network of relationships that exist between the people who consider themselves ISKCON devotees. That's what it really boils down to. If we have strong relationships between ourselves based on Krishna consciousness, they can do anything to us. They can take away our buildings, they can take away our money, they can put us in prison, it won't matter. They won't be able to stop us. This movement will be an unstoppable juggernaut. That's an English word. The British, during British rule, would see the Jagannath Festival in Puri. So they have this word in English now, juggernaut, which means an irresistible force, because those big carts coming down the main, the main road in Puri were like this huge irresistible force, so they have this word juggernaut. Sometimes they'll call a football team a juggernaut. So Jagannath is a juggernaut. And his movement, ISKCON, is a juggernaut. It is an irresistible force. So if we take up this nice Krishna Gita as described here in this verse this evening, according to our relationships as senior, equal, and junior, then this movement will indeed manifest its full potency as a juggernaut that can completely spiritualize the entire human society within 18 days. We don't have much time. I mean, just wait. Really, we have as much time until Al-Qaeda gets their hands on nuclear weapons. And then, I mean, we should take advantage right now, but before they have the nuclear weapons, to take the Prabhupada actually told us to take the management of the world. You may be surprised to hear, but I have a tape I play every morning. Prabhupada is telling us, right now the world is controlled by the rogues and demons. He says, now you make your life successful and take the management. Prabhupada actually wants us to become the world leaders on this planet. Not just some devotees sitting around the temple and chit-chatting and taking prasadam. He wants us to make a revolution. He wants us to become the leaders on this planet. Not just in name, but in practical reality. In actual practical reality, the ISKCON devotees are recognized as the leaders of the whole world, the whole planet Earth, by the world population, you see. So that is the responsibility we have as ISKCON members. We have to become very, very sober, very, very fixed, very, 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 very dedicated to serving Prabhupada's mission with every thought, every word, and every deed in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So now I can open it up if there's any questions. Yes, Mataji.
Sometimes the devotees have a lot of service and they don't feel they have enough time for Krishna. what's the formula? Like,
what kind of service are you talking about where you don't have time?
Maybe they're engaged all day on book distribution or something.
Do you travel in a van on book distribution? Do you go in a vehicle on book distribution? Or do you have some way to get to your book distribution spot? How do you get there? In a vehicle?
Yeah, in a vehicle.
So why don't you have Krishna Gita on your way to and from Sankirtan by listening to some tapes, some CDs? Are you doing the driving? Even if you're driving, you have a CD, you have a sound system in the car, and you hear Prabhupada speaking on your way there and your way back. And if you keep Prabhupada's words are so potent, just like this one tape I have, I've been listening to it for 3 years, I think, 2 or 3 years, the same tape every morning. It never gets old. You can play one tape over and over again where you practically have everything memorized. When you're giving class or you're preaching to somebody, Prabhupada can just come right through you. You know, you can remember what's in there and just purely deliver it. You see? So you can... I mean, when I go in the morning to shave, I listen to Prabhupada. Of course, you don't shave, but you do something. Maybe you brush your teeth. You can hear Prabhupada when you're brushing your teeth. Just a matter, I learned that from Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I saw him, he would go for his morning bath, he'd have a tape, he'd be hearing Prabhupada, he's doing his morning, getting ready, you know, for Mangalarti, he'd be in there hearing Prabhupada, starting his day off. First thing, get out of bed, still dirty, you know, you get in there to brush and all that, you're hearing Prabhupada. So it's a very, who doesn't take bath in the morning? Why don't you hear Prabhupada when you're taking your morning bath? You see, if You can do here even just 5 or 10 minutes of Prabhupada every morning. Steadily, day after day, week after week, year after year, it's very powerful. It builds up. It's not the quantity so much as the quality. If you can just find some qualitative way to hear Prabhupada, if you visit a few minutes every day, Prabhupada is so powerful that he can empower you for the whole day, just for that few minutes. Questions more? Last night only ladies had questions. Any of the men have questions? Or the men think they know everything already? Don't be proud. Yes?
These are really nice practical suggestions. Do you have any others, like you're saying, from experience, you know, in the bathroom, hearing this and that? Do you have other practical?
I have unlimited practical.
Could you tell us?
I have so many practical instructions. Writing is very good. If you want to, Prabhupada, you know Prabhupada told us to write. He said one line, two lines, you write your realization. Prabhupada very much told us to write. If you can every day write your realizations, take a few minutes just to write down your thoughts, have a diary or something. What's forced me to write, to get over my lackadaisicalness, if that's the correct pronunciation. I started an e-course on the internet. So I have to write every day. I have thousands of people waiting for their daily thought for the day. All over the world. So I have to write. If I have to give up sleep, I have to write. Because they're all waiting out there. So every day I write. I have to write some Krishna conscious thoughts every day for broadcasting all over the world. So if you find some way to force yourself to do what you know you're supposed to do, that's what I did. I found a way to force myself to write, even though I always wanted to, but I somehow was never able to do it. Now I'm forced to do it. Because all my readers are waiting. So that's a practical tip. Find some way to force yourself to do those things that you know you should, but you've never really gotten it together to do them. Find some way to force yourself to do it. That's another practical tip. So many practical tips.
Sometimes when the devotees think of writing, they think of, you know, the journal and all that sort of thing. But like you're saying, you can do email and this
correspondence.
Like the ISKCON Prison Ministry that we do with Chakra Shekhar. So that is a type of writing. Is that adequate, where we're expressing consciousness to be
you mean correspondence?
Yeah.
If you can, there should be, writing correspondence is one of the easiest ways to write because you're reciprocating with a live person who just asks questions. In a live setting, like in a class or in one-on-one preaching, you have to basically deal with what's on the top of your head. You're not going to generally say, okay, let me go look up in the Bhagavad Gita to answer your question. But when you're writing, you have the luxury of thinking, well, I remember there's something I read that would be a great answer. You can go look it up. And that way it forces you to study also. Like I get all kinds of questions. I mean, so many types of questions. And I have the Veda base right there on my laptop. So I just have I just type in. I've gotten so much expansion of my own knowledge and just from answering questions, all kinds of questions that people are asking all the time. So that's another advantage of correspondence, answering questions in correspondence form. You can have the luxury of giving really good answers, remembering that it was a lecture I heard that Prabhupada gave, or some purport somewhere. Let me research that. And then put that into the correspondence. So there's unlimited tips.
book distribution and keeping in contact with the people that you meet.
Book distribution.
Yeah, keeping in touch with the people.
Keeping in, yes. If you're on email, if you're an email person, which I recommend every preacher should be, then when you're out preaching, you give your email address along with a book. You give them a nice card. I can give you, I'll be very practical, I'll give you one of my cards so you can see what I'm doing. My e-course. You can get this after the class. But it has my email address. You say, I would like to hear from you what you think of this book and any questions you have about this book, and have them write you. And you also, if they're not into email, you give your regular snail mail address, as they call it nowadays. You know, have your snail mail address, have your phone number, where they can contact you, and say, I'm available, fully available to help you understand and apply what is in these books. I'm your servant to help you understand and apply what's in these books. And dedicate yourself fully to all the people that have gotten books from you. Because isn't it the injunction? Are you not acting as their teacher by telling them they should take the book? And is not the injunction given in the Srimad Bhagavatam that you should not become a teacher unless you can deliver your student from the cycle of birth and death? So is it not your duty when you give someone a book that you have to make sure that now they're going to go back to Godhead? Not that he's given the book, my business finished, bus. No. When you give someone a book, it's your duty to make sure that they read the book, that they understand the book, that they follow the book. So if you take this up, you will find you have so much service to do. You'll wonder, you'll have so much preaching to do, you won't know how you've been so blessed with unlimited mercy. How your life has been transformed into the most exciting adventure that could possibly be experienced anywhere in the universe within the entire eternal time. So this preaching is the key. If you really want to turn on, just find a way to get yourself so absorbed in preaching. You have so much preaching to do, you can't even keep up with it. You have so many people you're cultivating and guiding on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. You just don't know how you can even keep up with it. You have to pray to Krishna to help you. You see? So if you're doing book distribution and you don't have a follow-up program, you're missing out. And with a follow-up program, then you can get them to take sets of books. You know, you've gotten the Gita, now your next step is to get the Bhagavatam set. You see, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And to have us come to your home and do programs. And to get all your friends. We're meant to be lazy intelligent in this movement. It's not that we're meant to distribute the books, all the books. We're meant to engage other people also who can preach and distribute the books. You know the example of lazy intelligence given by Prabhupada. You know that example? There was one king. He had a minister. He got a very fatty salary. You know this story. So the other ministers were jealous of the prime minister. What is this nonsense? You're paying him so much money, you're giving him so much. He doesn't do anything. We don't see him doing anything. Sometimes he gives you some advice, and that's a little advice, and that's all he ever does. And he gets so much prestige, so much big, fatty salary. So he says, all right, I'll show you, you junior ministers. He said, all right, we have in the royal palace, we have the elephant stable. We have 10 elephants there. Each one of you take one of those 10 elephants, and you weigh it, and you come back with the weight of that elephant. The prime minister, he will take one. You, each one of you take an elephant, and you get it weighed. So everyone went, they took the elephant, they went wandering around the city. Where's a scale big enough for an elephant? What is the king doing? Is this a joke or what? How is it possible to weigh an elephant? So after, a whole day of wandering around the city with their elephants, trying to figure out how to get them weighed, they finally came back unsuccessful. The prime minister was back after a half an hour. They were out wandering the whole day. They couldn't weigh the elephants. They came back. So he must be making this up. The prime minister came back with the exact weight of the elephant. They said, no way, this is not possible. So the king said, all right. He said to the prime minister, you tell them, how did you weigh the elephant? It was very simple. I went down to the river, and there was one boat there. And we put the elephant in the boat, and we marked the spot in the, where the water came to when the elephant was in the boat. And then we took him off the boat, and we put 100-pound sacks of rice on the boat until it came to the same level. So, in this way, you see, Prabhupada said, the lazy intelligent, he's the first-class man. Because for the least amount of effort, he can do the maximum amount of work. Not that he doesn't work, he works, but he works more effectively than the people who huff and puff and don't get much done, you see. Running around, stupidly making one mistake after another after another after another. So, Prabhupada encouraged us to become lazy intelligent. I was actually here in Denver, he said, rich men's sons don't work. It's here in Denver, he said that. So we work, but we don't work like asses. We work with our brains, you see. So if by preaching work, by intelligent preaching work, you can engage hundreds and thousands of people in pushing for this movement. That is called lazy intelligence. Yesterday was someone who was saying, you know, this temple is a nice temple. We couldn't afford to buy such a temple nowadays. It's not like the old days when we were distributing so many books. But I didn't buy his line of logic. We have the capability of exceeding the results that were accomplished in the 70s. 10 times over. 10 times more than we did then. We simply properly apply ourselves. So I recommend as a practical tip, they sometimes call it contact preaching. But if you can take a personal, make a personal relationship with every person that gets your book, that you give them, you know, Prabhupada's book, then you will see amazing results from that. Any other questions? So, we will stop here. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.